Okay, today we will be talking about the third chapter of the Lotus Sutra and the famous story of the burning house. And that's why I don't have any visuals today. It didn't seem appropriate to have pictures of children in a burning house.
那么今天呢，我们要讲的是《法华经》的第三章，就是著名的三界火宅譬喻的出处。今天我没有带图过来，因为好像给大家展示一张一个房子烧起来一边有小孩的景象，好像不太妥当。
So to quickly summarize the first two chapters so everyone can get up to speed, in the introductory chapter to the Lotus Sutra, the Buddha is preaching to an assembly of 1,200 monks, nuns and lay people, as well as a variety of other beings. He enters a deep samadhi and emits a powerful light from his urna, the tuft of hair between his eyes, and he lights up 18,000 realms, from the lowest hell to the highest heaven. And Maitreya, who's a bodhisattva now and destined to be the future Buddha, asks the renowned bodhisattva Manjushri, what is the meaning of this wondrous event? Manjushri says that the teaching of the Lotus Sutra of the great Dharma is about to unfold, and it is here that Buddha will expound the teaching of the one vehicle.
所以我们先快速的总结一下法华经前两章说的是什么。那么在法华经的第一章是续品第一当中呢，释迦牟尼佛对着是在演说佛法，是对着比丘、比丘尼、优婆，还有优婆夷、优婆优婆娑，1200人众在开演佛法。他是佛放眉间白毫相光，照东方万八千世界，弥不周遍，下至阿鼻地狱，上至最高的天界。这个时候呢，弥勒菩萨这个时候还是一个菩萨，弥勒菩萨是要成为未来佛的，但这个时候还是菩萨。他就问其他菩萨，问文殊菩萨说，释迦牟尼佛在那里眉间放光是什么意思呀？是有什么稀有的事情要发生吗？然后文殊菩萨就说，是的，那是因为释迦牟尼佛要开讲说法华经的。因为这是释迦牟尼佛要开说一乘大法。
However, the reader or the listener to the sutra might expect there to be some explanation of what the one vehicle actually is, but the second chapter does not really give an explanation. Rather, the chapter opens with an explanation of why no simple explanation is possible. The Buddha clarifies that his understanding is simply or complexly beyond that of ordinary sentient beings. No one could have an understanding equal to his. However, he can impart and teach a great deal. but this must be done by using expedient means, which is the name of the second chapter, this chapter. Skillful or expedient means is the ability of a Buddha or Bodhisattva to preach the Dharma in a manner that is appropriate to the level of understanding of the listener, and to skillfully assist all living beings in overcoming suffering and delusion. In other words, the recipient of skillful means may benefit from the help rendered even if he or she does not quite understand how they are being helped.
所以法华经的第一品续品第一当中就讲到了释迦牟尼佛要开讲法华经，然后第二章一般读者会想，哦，第二品可能会讲到这个一乘法到底是什么呢，但是在第二品的时候并没有具体解说一乘法是什么，相反第二品在开篇的时候就解释了为什么没有办法给出一个简单的解释。在这里释迦牟尼佛说到因为这个一乘法的 具体的理解和解释是一般的众生所难以彻底的完全理解的，没有人能够像佛这样彻底的理解一生法，所以他用了方便的方法来开说，来开始解释。所以第二品法华，法华经第二品的名字就叫做方便品第二。所谓的方便的意思就是说，菩萨佛或者大菩萨可以用他们的用以他们的力量来够来向众生所听讲者做适度的适合他们的解释，让听讲者能够接受佛所想要阐述的意思，并在这个过程当中使他们受益，哪怕他们也众生也并不知道自己是具体是怎么从中受益的，但他们凭着佛的力量，凭着佛的方便的譬喻解释，便能够从中受益。
Okay, so that is a general definition of what expedient means is. However, in the Lotus Sutra, the Buddha names the most important expedient means, the three vehicles of his earlier teachings. So those three vehicles are, number one, the Shravaka, which is sometimes known as Hinayana or Theravada. Two is the Pratyeka Buddha, and three are the Bodhisattva, those three vehicles. These represent various strategies that sentient beings have used to deal with suffering and to attain liberation. Since expedient means are meant to communicate and help, the Buddha employs a variety of forms of communication. The Buddha uses sermons, explanations of causes and conditions, parables, verses, fables, stories, histories, all sorts of different methods to communicate to sentient beings.
所以这就是对方便品的一个总体的一个解释。在当然在法华经中，释迦牟尼佛讲了三种最重要的方便的方法，主要是指他刚开始出来布道的时候所提到的三圣及声闻，通常被称为小圣，辟支佛，然后还有菩萨道，这样三圣。当然这个三圣三个不同的路径啊，体现了众生接引众生离苦得乐的不同的方法和途径。这些方便的方法善巧，方便善巧都是用来与众生结缘沟通，帮助众生的。所以佛用了很多种善巧方便来接引众生，包括各种讲解呀，各种解释，各种因缘的运用，包括也会讲到各种寓言故事甚至是历史小故事等等。
Okay, the Buddha does say that it is for the great cause, the liberation of all sentient beings, that the Buddhas appear in the world, and only Buddhahood itself is true liberation. Previously, he did not expound the one vehicle, because the time was not right. Sentient beings weren't ready for it. And that is why he taught the three vehicles. But now the world is ready for the Lotus Sutra of the Great Dharma. And finally, at the end of chapter 2, the Buddha declares to the assembly, you should have no more doubt. Your hearts should be filled with great joy, for you know that you too will become Buddhas.
释迦牟尼佛说，佛是因以大事因缘而出世说法，所以他也解说到了佛道才是最究竟的解脱。此前他说他还没有提出一圣法的原因，是因为当时的时机还未成熟，所以他提出了三圣。但是现在呢，因缘已成熟所以可以开讲《法华经》了。最后他在序言品第二的末尾提到汝等既已知，诸佛世之师，随意方便事，无复诸疑惑，心生大欢喜，自知当作佛。
So, as the third chapter opens, understandably enough, Sariputra is overjoyed with the prediction of becoming a Buddha. Who wouldn't be? with the promise of attaining supreme Buddhahood by virtue of the great vehicle, what is there to be sad about? Remember at this point, however, that he is still an arhat, having reached the highest attainable enlightened stage according to the Theravadan code of teaching. He never dreamed there was anything beyond this. He was tethered to his previous views and conditioning and believed that he had gone as far as was possible. But now he's confused and he cannot comprehend the meaning of the one vehicle. It's like he thought he was in Boston. He thought he was in Boston and someone tapped him on the shoulder and said, you know, you're really in Hartford, Connecticut.
所以在第三品开章的时候, 我们也可以很容易能够理解到, 舍利弗为什么是那么的高兴, 因为在第二品结尾的时候, 佛已经预言到, 就是说, 已经为他受记预言说, 你将来会成为佛, 会得佛果, 所以, 当然舍利弗会非常的高兴, 如果这种事发生在你身上, 谁不会高兴呢? 但是, 既然已经听到佛的承诺和预言说将来会成佛道, 为什么舍利弗还有些感伤呢? 因为在这个时候, 大家要记得, 舍利弗还是一个阿罗汉, 虽然, 虽然他已经在小乘的范围内达到了最高的, 这个果位是一位阿罗汉, 他以前一直以为已经到头了, 不会再有比阿罗汉更高的果位了, 根据他以前的教法, 他以为, 根据释迦牟尼佛以前的教法, 这已经是最究竟的结果了, 现在呢, 他又有点, 他现在又疑惑了, 不能够理解一圣到底是什么意思, 就好像有人, 有人以为他是已经在波士顿了, 已经到达最终目的地了, 但是, 这个时候有人突然告诉他, 你还不在波士顿呢, 你还在康州, 他可能就懵了。
Okay, so to explain how the one vehicle transcends yet includes all of his earlier teachings, and to clear up Sariputra's confusion, the Buddha tells the story of the burning house, and that's what this whole talk is about, is that particular story. So here's a very short synopsis of the story, and we're going to go into it in much more detail. But the story, in short, is a wealthy man, a great elder, has a house where a number of people, including his children, live. The house is in a terrible state of disrepair. It's filled with filth and grotesque creatures. A fire breaks out, engulfing the entire building. The children don't listen to their father's entreaties to leave because they are so engrossed in their play that they simply ignore the danger. So the great elder decides to use expedient means, a white lie, if you will, and he entices them to leave the house with a promise of different kinds of carts, a goat cart, a deer cart, and an ox cart, because he knows what each one of them likes. This works, and the children rush out, but the promised carts are not there. Instead, there is a great carriage pulled by a great white ox.
所以为了解释一圣到底是什么意思, 一圣也包含了释迦牟尼佛以前所有的教法, 来解除舍利佛的疑惑, 那么, 佛陀就讲了一个三界火宅的故事, 这就是著名的三界火宅的故事, 我们等一下会展开讲, 现在先讲一下这个故事的概要, 主要是讲, 三界火宅主要是讲, 以前有一个富有的长者, 他有一栋房子, 这栋房子里呢, 是他给他的孩子住的, 孩子在里面玩耍, 但这栋房子已经非常破旧了, 有一天呢, 着火了, 整个火把房子都包围了, 这个时候呢, 长者想让孩子们逃出火宅, 但是孩子们正在里面玩得开心呢, 他们完全不听长者的意见, 这个时候长者想到了一个方法, 就是用一个善巧方便, 或者说是一个善意的谎言, 来把孩子们引出房子, 他就对孩子们承诺说, 你们快出来呀, 这里有羊车, 鹿车, 牛车, 因为他知道每个孩子都喜欢玩什么车, 所以他就说你们可以出来玩这些玩具呢。这样一说就有效了，孩子们就冲着跑出了火宅。但是当他们跑出来之后呢，却发现其实并没有羊车、鹿车、其他的车，其实就只有一头牛车。
Okay, this story is about using expedient means, the right methods, under the right circumstances to effect change. The promises of the goat, deer, and ox cart prompted the children to escape the burning house. And, later we'll talk about the great carriage.
所以这个故事给大家展示的就是什么叫方便善巧，并且在怎么样合适的因缘条件下运用方便善巧。正因为长者向孩子们承诺了有羊车、鹿车、牛车等各种好玩的东西在外面等着他们，所以才让孩子们顺利的逃出了火宅。等一下我们会具体的讲一下这个车所代表的。
So there's a very important backstory, an earlier sutra, which would definitely be in the minds of any practitioner at the time that the Buddha gave the Lotus Sutra. And that is a very famous sutra called the Fire Sermon. And it begins with the Buddha declaring, Bhikkhus, all is burning. And in Pali, it's Sabbam Bhikkhave Atidam.
So, 其实在佛讲法华经之前他还讲过一个关于用火做比喻的一个经典，是说所有的东西其实都已经着火，都在燃烧。
So the Buddha said all is burning. What does that refer to? Well, first of all, what does he mean by all? That's everything associated with the eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind. All of our sense organs, our consciousness, all of the different consciousnesses associated with the sense organs and all of the sense objects. So all refers to every possible way that we can interact with the world. And burning refers to the three poisons of greed, hatred, and ignorance, and all the suffering that results from attachment to these three poisons. That's birth, aging, death, sorrows, lamentations, pain, distress and despair. Burning is what informs and drives ordinary sentient beings through the three worlds of desire, form, and formlessness.
这里所讲的所讲的所有东西都着火了，在燃烧，就像欲火焚烧的意思，就是说我们的眼耳鼻舌身意各种器官，各种与外界打交道的互动的器官都已经着火了。这里的着火意思是说我们的这些感官受到了贪嗔痴三毒的危害。所以由三贪嗔痴三毒所导致的执着，使我们深陷于生老病死、痛苦、绝望等等等等烦恼之中。所以这里的着火就是欲火焚身那种意思。
Of course, non-practitioners and even genuine practitioners, to a certain extent, are not fully aware of this burning that I just discussed. And that's the self-driven, reactive way that we generally engage with the world. Burning not only connotes feverish destruction, but it also points directly to impermanence, because that which burns changes and slides into extinction.
当然不管是修行还是不修行的，或者是说不是真正修行的人的话，是很难真正的觉察或者体验到所谓的欲火焚身。因为我们通常都是这样与外界打交道，与外界互动的。而这里这个燃烧着火中欲火焚身，不仅仅代表了这种三毒贪嗔痴所带来的毁灭性的危害，也间接的指向无常，因为火在燃烧的时候是不停的变换方向最后直到灭绝。
Now I'm going to read the end of the fire sermon, and this will show you why Sariputra is so confused he believed that he had put down and doused all of this burning. So at the end of the fire sermon, it says, the arhat grows disenchanted with the intellect, disenchanted with ideas, disenchanted with consciousness at the intellect, disenchanted with contact at the intellect. And whatever there is that arises in dependence on contact at the intellect, experienced as pleasure, pain, or neither pleasure nor pain, he grows disenchanted with that too. Disenchanted, he becomes dispassionate. Through dispassion, he is fully released. With full release, there is the knowledge fully released. He discerns that birth is ended, the holy life fulfilled, the tasks done. There is nothing further for the world. So he has it made in the shade, or so he thought. So you can see how confused he is when it was told to him that he hadn't really attained liberation.
所以这里舍利佛的疑惑的地方也正在此，因为舍利佛觉得他已经是阿罗汉，所谓的离欲阿罗汉，他已经把这个欲火扑灭了，就像在这个火。 佛陀所说的火经的这个结尾的时候，他提到，阿罗汉已经离欲了，已经离开了，已经不会再被自己的思维啊、想法呀、或者意识等干扰，不会再为欲望所左右，也不会再为自己的感官所感受到的快乐或者不快乐，痛苦或者愉快所左右，他已经完全的解脱于其中了。 他已经彻底的得到了解脱，为什么这里舍利佛以为这就是最就近的解脱了？但是现在佛告诉他，这还不是最终目的地，所以他比较疑惑。So
remember, in this chapter, Sariputra has been given this prophecy that he'll become a Buddha. So it's quite a lot for him to take in, and he goes from being a teacher of Brahmins, not even a Buddhist, to a Shravaka, just someone practicing, to an Arhat, and then a Bodhisattva, and then he is now assured of Buddhahood. So it's kind of going from rags to riches, metaphorically speaking.
所以我们这里要理解到，舍利佛其实在一下子经历了很多，因为他刚开始是按照小乘的方法来修行，然后取得阿罗汉果。 然后现在佛一下就跟他说，最终他是要得佛果的，所以就像是一个穷子一下子变成了一个富翁一样。So,
Sariputra, thinking like a bodhisattva now, he maybe understand what's going on, but there are all of these followers that are listening to the Buddha, and they're confused. So he asks the Buddha for some clarification, and the Buddha says, did I not tell you that when the Buddhas, the world-honored ones, by using causal explanations, parables, and other kinds of expression, teach the Dharma by skillful means? It is all for the purpose of supreme awakening. That's what I told you. All these teachings are for the purpose of transforming people into bodhisattvas. But Sariputra, let me once again make this meaning still more clear through a parable. For intelligent people can understand through parables.
所以呢，即便舍利佛自己不疑惑，其他在场的听众也会觉得有些疑惑。这里佛陀就说道，佛陀再次说道，难道我没有告诉过你吗？在成佛以前，佛陀会用各种各样的譬喻、方便善巧等等的解释来。 开讲佛法，就是为了最终的目的是使大家都能够觉悟。那么在这个过程当中呢，我可能会用一些譬喻的方式让大家能够了解到佛意，因为通常譬喻的方式大家更容易理解。So
then the Buddha then narrates the parable which I went over earlier, and we're going to go into it in great detail. And he explains the allegorical aspects of the story. The Buddha declares that he is the rich man in the story, and the children are sentient beings, and the goat, the deer, and the ox carts represent Travaka, Pracheka, and Bodhisattva vehicles. But instead of the promised three carts, there is the one bigger, better, and more splendid than all the others. That's the one vehicle.
所以呢，这里佛陀就提到了刚刚我们讲到的三界火宅的譬喻。这里我们会具体详细的解释一下这里的意思。在解释这个譬喻的过程当中，佛陀就说到他自己其实就是这个富有的长者。那么在火宅里的孩子呢，就像是众生一样。那么所羊车、鹿车、牛车所代表的是三圣，代表的是声闻圣、辟支佛和菩萨道这三圣。所以实际上看似有三辆马车三圣，实际上最终只有一个更大更好的更殊胜的那就是一圣。
Okay, so let's go through the allegory of the burning house, and I think allegory is a better word than parable for this, because there's so many levels of meaning. And also, just observe in this sutra, like many others, there's a prose section followed by a verse section. And for the sake of this talk, I'm just going to view it as if it's just one seamless narrative so that I can convey the story.
所以现在我们就会具体来讲一讲这个三界火宅的譬喻。那么这里呢，像其他所有的经文一样，它有经文的正文，然后也有偈子。这里我们就把正文和偈子一起讲好像他们是一个故事。
So as I go through the story, just note, now I'm going to point this out, there's a certain conventional, easy to understand idea that's going on in the story, but there's also a more unconventional kind of dreamlike theme that goes through the story, because it is complex and it is talking about so many different levels of practice.
在讲解时候我要提到通常对这个故事呢有一般大众化的理解，也有更深，也有一种更深刻的非大众化的理解，因为毕竟这个故事，这个譬喻故事其实是很复杂的。
So first let's start with the simple and the conventional. There's unfortunately nothing so special about a story of a building in very bad shape that has people trapped inside of it. There was a terrible fire in Grenfell Tower in London last year. Over 70 people died. And this is in modern times, not in the Buddha's time. So this kind of thing continues to happen. Really dilapidated buildings and people in danger. But here in the sutra, with this terrible fire, as in many of these tragedies, there's someone trying to help. In this case, it's the children's father trying to rescue them from the burning building. So very simple, straightforward story at that point.
所以先来理解一下这个三界火宅比较大众化简单的一面的故事，就是说其实这个故事好像听上去也没有什么特别的，就是说有一场大火。那么就像去年在伦敦也格兰福塔也有一场大火，有70个人在这场大火中丧生。这还是现代的一个故事，并不是发生在佛陀时代的一场很糟糕的大火。但是正像所有大火一样，人们都想试图帮助深陷大火里边的孩子。那么在三界火宅这个譬喻当中，是指的是孩子们的父亲，这个富有的长者想要帮助深陷火宅的孩子们逃出这个火宅。
However, we know that the story is an allegory, and it points to the human condition everywhere and at every time. It's not that the fire is breaking out in a particular city, in a particular country, at a particular time in history. No, this is an ever-present situation and condition. This is the message of the fire sermon, And it's the message of the burning house story as well. It is a finger pointing to the moon, and in many ways, it's the moon itself. So we have to watch the details and at the same time be aware of the larger context of the story.
但是我们知道这个故事，三界火宅的譬喻其实是是泛指人类所有的人会发生在人类任何时间任何地点的一种情况。因为这个大火并不是在某个城市某个地点历史上的某个时段发生的，其实这种大火是 这种火灾是时刻都存在的，是经常发生的。它就像它所要传递的信息，就像这个三界火灾故事和火经当中所讲到的，它就像是一个指月的手指，或者是在很多方面它就像是代表月亮本身一样。所以我们需要在讲这个故事的时候能够意识到这个故事它所寓意所指的这个大的背景。
So let's look at the details. Let's look at the story a little more closely. First, let's look at the great elder, the rich man who owns the house. He is likened to the Buddha. His great wealth is like the Buddha's wisdom. So how does he come to have a house that is in such disrepair? Not only is it falling apart, but it is filled with noxious insects, poisonous snakes, filth and excrement, and all manner of ferocious, vicious, carnivorous demons.
我们现在再更细致来看一看这个故事。首先看一看这位富有的长者。这个富有的长者是这个房子的拥有者。他是在故事里其实就是暗指他就是佛陀本人。而这位富有长者的财富其实指的是佛陀的智慧。但是这位富有的长者怎么会有这样一所这样一栋房子，这样一栋破旧不堪破旧不堪的房子，不仅是破旧不堪，快要坍塌了，而且房子里边还充满了各种各样有毒的虫子啊、毒蛇啊，甚至还有各种邪恶的魔鬼等等。
So if this were New York City, these tenants would definitely be filing a lawsuit. Once the details are given about the horrific condition of the house, it's not surprising that a fire breaks out.
所以如果这个是发生在纽约市的话，那么住在房子里的租客肯定可以起诉房主了。因为所以这个房子的情况这么糟糕，所以这个房子会发生大火的情况就一点也不奇怪了。
Okay, now let's move in from the conventional to the dreamlike mode of this story. We may look at some details differently. I mentioned the lawsuit the tenants of such a building might file.However, in the dreamlike reality of the situation, that there would be no lawsuit, right? Because the children are too engrossed in their games. They don't know what's happening. They don't see the problems with the building, or they're not even aware of the fire. So we, the Buddha and the elder, we're the ones who see the problem with the building.
好，接下来我们讲一下这个背后这个故事的暗喻的背后是讲的是什么样的一个故事线。我刚刚讲到就像住在这么糟糕情况的一个房子里的租客肯定会起诉房主一样。但是在这个故事当中在这条像这个现实当中，这些租客也就是这些在房子里的孩子们并没有起诉。为什么呢？因为他们实在是在房子里玩得太开心了。他们根本就看不到这个房子存在的任何问题，也觉察不到已经起火了。而我们佛陀或者说长者是唯一能够看到这个房子问题的人。
So let's continue to look at some of the unusual characteristics of the story. Why is there only one entrance to the house? Where has the great elder been? He owns many fields and houses and he has a great many servants.The narration is vague about the number of people living in the house. It says 100, 200, as many as 500. And how about the children? It says there may be 10, maybe 20, maybe 30 children. We aren't actually told what the exact number is.
所以我们再继续看一下这个故事不寻常之处。为什么这个房子只有一个出口呢？这位长者怎么会已经在房子外面？这个长者去哪里了？他有这么多的田地啊、房子和仆人。因为这个故事当中叙述大致的讲了一下，住在房子里边人的数量大概有100到500个人。那么在房子里的孩子到底有多少人呢？10个、20个还是30个？他们是不是这个其他500个人之中的呢？我们这个并没有被告知这些细节。
Okay, and as I talk about the allegorical side of this story, I want to emphasize that I'm not trying to play some clever substitution game saying that this or that represents one thing or another. I wish to show the dynamic nature of the story, that there are really many levels and perhaps an infinite number of levels. And many of the details in the story are really meant to sink in a contemplative way. So there's almost a gung-on, koan-like way of looking at this story. And you can kind of let it sink in.
当然我说这个故事是就是代表性的有暗喻性质的。我并不是想玩文字游戏或者说这个代表那个这个又是代表另一个意思。我只是想大家显示一下展示一下这个故事这个寓言它其实有很多层次可以去发掘可以去参想几乎就像一个公案一样我们可以从不同的层面上去参去理解。
So, and this contemplation transcends conceptuality, right? It's beyond words and ideas, even though, of course, we're using words and ideas. But okay, let's move a little further and examine the one door. It's fairly unusual, even in ancient times, I would imagine, for a great house to have only one entrance. Could that one door be samsara? Or perhaps it's Buddha nature itself? This may be something that we could examine further.
就像公案，当我们说参公案的时候，我们并不是纯粹的用智力上的想象，而更多的也并不运用文字传统的文字符号等等。虽然我们在说的过程当中还是在运用文字符号，那么让我们再更进一步的审查一下，审视一下这个为什么这个房子只有一个出口，一扇门呢？这是有些不寻常的，因为即便在古代，我想也不会只有一栋大房子里只有一个出口。那么这个出口代表什么意思呢？是不是说我们深陷的这个娑婆世界呢？还是说是佛性本身呢？这或许值得进一步的探讨。
Okay, now let's talk about the great elder's responsibility. I mean, can we drag the Buddha into court because there's suffering in the world? It's kind of it goes to that level. But the world works according to causes and conditions, and effects follow actions. So if there is suffering, the owner of the house is not responsible, it's the residents, their actions and resulting karma that has caused the dire circumstances in which they find themselves. If we were not working on an allegorical level, the tenants would file a lawsuit. And if it was just about a landlord, then he would be responsible. But this story is an allegory. It's about a lot more than what meets the eye. And it's about the Buddha, causes and conditions, and all phenomena, and how we react to them. So it's not a question of the Buddha himself being on or off the hook about the nature of life. It's a portal that illuminates our human condition.
所以我们这里看一下长者他的责任。就像在这个故事当中说到的这个长者他不会被租客拖到法院一样。这个世界运营的法则是根据因缘因果然后根据每一个众生所造业所产生的果来运行的。所以这个房子的主人佛陀并不会为大家现在所处的危险的境界所负责，因为实际上是住在房子里的租客们，他们自己的行为、自己的造业，造成了房子现在这样危急的情况。当然，如果我们不是从这种寓意层面讲的话，现实层面肯定租客会要去告屋主了。但是在这个故事当中，这个屋主是佛陀本人啊，还有因缘、因果、现象等等。它不是一个简单的佛陀是不是要为此负责任或者不负责任的事情。
So the house is in disrepair and evil creatures dwell therein. Perhaps we can understand that such things do happen, but how can it be that the children are unaware of what's happening? It does not seem possible. Once again, unfortunately, the news is often filled with people who have tragic endings because they were not paying attention to one thing or another.Or they ignored other people trying to tell them that there was danger. And Ignorance is the key word because this allegory portrays the fundamental ignorance that we have about the nature of our existence. This is the first link on the chain of dependent origination. This is the ignorance of suffering itself.
所以房子已经, 非常破旧, 快要倒塌, 然后里边还住了各种各样危险的生物, 我们或许可以理解, 事情像这样的事情确实可以发生, 但是怎么会住在里边的孩子们会没有觉察到这些事情呢? 好像没有觉察到这个房子的破旧和危险, 有些不可思议, 但是, 事实上世界又的确是如此, 很不幸的是, 我们经常会听到很多人有最后有非常悲惯的遭遇或者悲惯的结局，但是是因为他们没有觉察到这件事或者那件事，或者甚至于忽略别人试图告诫别人的告诫或者忠告。这里无明就是一个关键性的因素，就像这个预言所指的这个根本无明。 对我们所处的境况的一种根本无明是问题的根源所在，就像十二因缘当中的第一个链接，是无明造就了痛苦本身。So
before he actually says anything to his children, the great elder goes through an elaborate thought process. He's not going to do anything rash. He thinks that he could bring them out by himself, in his robes or on a table perhaps. But the doorway is too narrow. Additionally, the children are young. They know nothing of the danger they are in, and they will probably be burned by the fire. He cries to them, "Get out of there!" The children are absorbed in their play. They don't believe their father, so they are neither alarmed nor frightened. You can see how this is a formula for disaster. They are given the proper information, but they don't believe it. They don't even consider the need for escape.
所以在佛陀对火宅里的孩子说任何话之前呢，他其实进行了一番思考，他并没有很着急的说什么话。他想了一想，他想，如果是他自己冲进去把孩子们救出来的话，那么这个通道呢过于狭窄，而且孩子们还小。 他们根本就不了解所处的危险，他们很有可能被火烧伤，所以他对他们大喊说，如果他对他们大喊说，赶快跑出来，孩子们可能玩得正开心，根本就不会相信，他们父亲所说的话，他们也不会真正的理解这个警告的意思，所以你看，如果只是简单的告诉他们危险，快走，他们 可能并不能理解，最终还是会受到伤害，因为他们根本就没有考虑到自己有需要，有逃出来的需要。So
why doesn't this strong elder follow what he considered and sweep up his children and run out of the house with them? It is understood that the Buddha's teaching can show us the way, but the Buddha himself cannot walk the path for us. Additionally, according to Mahayana teaching, the path out of the house is not a physical issue. The problem is one of mind and recognizing where the flames originate. The sutra doesn't exactly say this, but sentient beings have to realize the source of and their participation in their own suffering. It's certainly implied. This realization cannot be imposed upon them. It has to come from within.
所以为什么这位长者 他不考虑直接冲进去，然后抱起他的孩子们，然后冲出房子呢？这里所理解的是，这里的譬喻的意思就是说，佛陀可以向我们展示和告诉我们他的教法和佛法到底是什么，但是佛陀本人并不能代替我们来走这条菩提道修行之道。根据 大乘佛教的教法，因为走出这个火宅并不是一个身体就可以做到的一个事情，它的问题的根源出在于我们的心，出在于我们的心能够认知到问题到底出在哪里，火到底是从哪里起来的，所以虽然 在经文上并没有说，没有明确的指出众生必须要了解到他们自己痛苦的根源在哪里才有可能走出火灾。嗯，因为这种觉悟不能够强加给他们，必须要让他们从内心自己来够觉察。
To further press the point of ignorance, the great elder says the children don't understand what fire is, what a house is, or even what loss of life is. They are really clueless. They run around staring blankly at their father, and actually says this in the sutra. It's kind of cinematic with them just being totally unaware of what's going on other than what they're interested in.
所以在这里边无明、就进一步被阐释，因为长者说到孩子们根本就不懂什么是火，什么是一个破旧的房子、丢掉生命又是什么意思，他们完全没有了解，完全一无所知、他们就这样在房子里乱跑，这样子、一脸无辜地盯着他们的父亲、这里其实经文是有提到、
So the great elder has no recourse but to use expedient means. He can't convey to them that they are in danger, but he knows them well and he knows how their minds workSo he contrives to entice them out of the house with a goat, a deer, and an ox carriage. He tells them how rare these things are, and he tells them that they'll really be sorry if they don't take advantage of his offer. He offers each of them any cart they want. They push and they shove each other, they run out of the house, and then they demand from their father what he's promised them. They want their carts.
所以这位长者实在是没有其他办法，必须运用善巧方便，他不能直接对房子里的孩子们说啊这里危险，因为他们知道他们根本就不懂危险。但是这位长者知道孩子们的心是怎么运作的，所以他就哄骗或者引诱他们把这个从他们房子里引出来，用羊车、鹿车、牛车等好玩的玩具把他们从房子里骗出来。但是当孩子们笑着跳着从房子里跑出来之后呢，他们就要这位长者呢兑现诺言。
So the carriage that the children now ride in is wondrous. It's bedecked with jewels and canopies and many, many servants. These are representative of the wealth of the father who gives each child the same opportunity with no discrimination. The children have received somethingthat they never expected.
所以现在孩子们从房子里跑出来之后呢，他们骑到了这个非常漂亮好玩的都用珠宝装饰的、还有伞盖的、有仆人的、这样一个豪华的、各种车上、这个象征着父亲就是可以给孩子们同等的机会、毫无偏差。
Okay, so now there comes a very, very interesting and crucial break in the story. The Buddha asked Sariputra if the great elder was guilty of lying. That's quite a question, right? After all, he promised the children one thing and he gave them something else. So it's the old bait and switch. And this opens a very important inquiry in the sutra and a very important question in our lives. When are we being told the truth? How do we know that we're on the right path?
所以在这里呢有一个非常关键的很有意思的这个事情出现了，那就是佛陀问舍利弗说你觉得这位长者是不是觉得因为自己哄骗了小孩而感到很愧疚呢？因为不管怎么样这位长者给孩子们承诺了一样事情，但是当孩子们跑出来以后，他给孩子们却是另外一样，就像大人哄骗小孩一样，经常是会这样说些善意的谎言。那么在这里就打开了一个非常重要的问题，我们什么时候才会被告知真相？
So Sariputra assures the Buddha that there was no falsehood here. Why?The elder made it possible for the children to escape the fire. I mean, they have their lives. That justifies what he did. And he goes on to explain that it was the elder's good intentions that also justified the seeming falsehood. In other words, there was nothing in it for the father alone. His actions were solely to save the children.
所以在这里呢，舍利弗就说到了，佛，因为佛问舍利弗说，与如意云何？是长者等与诸子珍宝大车，宁有虚妄否？然后舍利弗就说了，没有。佛也世尊，是长者但令诸子得免火难，全其躯命，非为虚妄，何以故？若全生命，便为己得完好之具，况复方便于彼火宅而拔济之。也就是说，不能算是对小孩们欺骗，因为他们这样做的善巧方便，就是为了让孩子们能够逃脱火宅，保全他们的性命，这样他们才可以玩他们自己想玩。
Now at this point, the Buddha reveals how his teachings work. He has conquered fear and ignorance and does only good. And he says, the Tathagata appears in the triple world, which is like a decaying old house on fire, to rescue sentient beings from the fire of birth, old age, illness and death, anxiety, sorrow, suffering, distress, delusion, blindness, and the three poisons of greed, hatred, and ignorance. Thus he leads and inspires sentient beings and causes them to attain the highest complete enlightenment.
所以呢，在这里佛陀就揭示了他的教法是怎么运作的。他首先他克服了所有的无明恐怖并且只会带来为众生带来福利。他说这如来出现在这个世界上，就像一个出现在这个世界，这个世界就像是一个非常破旧的快要倒塌的已经着火的房子。那么为了能够将众生从这个火宅，也就相当于从生老病死等等生老病死忧愁悲苦当中解脱出来呢，他就会用种种方便，然后带领着众生，使他们最终能够证得最究竟最高的开悟。
The Buddha says that he is the father of living beings, and if he did not use expedient means, sentient beings would drown in the sea of suffering, old age, sickness, and death. The Buddha does make a reference to his older teachings when he tells sentient beings not to be attached to crude forms, tastes, and sensations.
所以佛陀说他就像是众生的父亲一样，他如果不使用善巧方便的话，那么众生就会在生老病死的苦海当中彻底的淹没。在这里佛陀也特别指出他以前的更直接的教法，是要让众生不要执着于这些像这些声音这些味道。
And then the Buddha continues, and in my last talk I really emphasized in the Lotus Sutra how there's inclusivity. The Buddha is not putting down these other forms of practice of the other schools of Buddhism. He actually respects them a great deal. And he says, mounted on these three vehicles, you gain the pleasure of faculties, strengths, intuitive perceptions, dhyana, deliverance, samadhi, and all without flows, and incalculable peace and comfort. He does say that about the three vehicles, but in the Lotus Sutra, he's saying there is something even beyond that.
所以即便他讲三圣其实是方便法门，就是声闻辟支佛菩萨道，只不过是方便法门，他还是非常称赞这三种修行之道，因为他说这三种三圣三个法门能够让你清醒的能够得到禅定，虽然说并不究竟，但还是能够让你得到安定和快乐。
And the Buddha explains how different personalities might gravitate to one of these vehicles or another. But he ends up by giving this great carriage that is suitable for all beings, and he saves untold millions of sentient beings. And then he says, I will give sentient beings who have escaped from the triple world all the toys of the, and I love that phrase, all the toys. It's like he went to Toys R Us. And all the toys of the Buddha's meditations and liberations, which are of one character and of one kind, are praised by the noble ones and which produce pure and supreme pleasure.
解释了不同的人根据自己不同的根性、不同的喜好呢，会选择三圣中的不同的某一圣来进行修行。这里他经文当中特别强调，解脱等娱乐之具皆是一项一种甚所称赞，能生净妙第一之乐。我特别想指出的是，这里讲的是像玩具一样。娱乐之具就相当于佛陀给了我们很多不同的解脱的方法，教法，就像给孩子们不同的玩具一样。
And as the Buddha says, there is no falsehood in his teaching, but he gives sentient beings what they can handle. And this chapter ends with dire warnings to those who would slander the sutra, and he gives instructions about those who would be best served by the sutra.
所以，这里讲到佛陀的教法没有所谓的是虚假虚妄之言，它只不过是根据众生所能够接受的教法而给他们各种不同的教法。在这一品结尾的时候，佛陀还特别指出，就是给众生警告说不要诽谤佛法，因为他特别指出给出了指示。怎么样才可以最好的理解这个佛经。
So now that we have looked at the chapter closely, we've really gone over all the details. But now we have to ask, how is this useful to us? We're not simply here just to hear a good story or acquire a few facts and details about Buddhist practice.
那现在我们已经仔细的看了一下这一章这一品之后，譬喻品第三之后，我们要问一下自己，我们要怎么样才可以从中受益呢？毕竟我们不是过来听一个故事而已。
So one thing that this chapter and the sutra as a whole can alert us to is the need for and the difficulty of communication. This is something right now in contemporary America.2019 is something that is really sorely needed because we have all sorts of conflicting news organizations and fake and real news, and the Buddha is really exploring this issue from a spiritual point of view.
所以这一品特别强调了让我们警觉到这种沟通传达信息的困难和这个挑战性，就像我们现在21世纪最大的问题，其实是我们时刻都会收到各种各样充满矛盾的、不准确的各种各样的信息。
So, this communication is probably the first step in the struggle with ignorance and overcoming it. You have to know what you are working. You have to know that you're working on either precise or imprecise information.The French philosopher Merleau-Ponty said that we're always working on more information than we actually have. And by extension, the information that we do act upon can be false, imprecise, sometimes useless, sometimes dangerous.
所以跟无明做斗争的第一步其实就是要知道你现在所获得的这些信息是不是准确的还是不准确的。就像法国的哲学家指出，我们总是在根据更多的信息来做出我们的行为，但是呢，这些信息我们采用的这些信息往往是不准确的，甚至是虚假的，有些时候是无用的，甚至是危险的。
So with the promise of communication comes the peril of miscommunication. How can we know that we are on the right path? Are we following illusion or reality? This question is posed in several ways.Earlier in the sutra, I didn't mention this, but Sariputra says to the Buddha that he wasn't sure that it wasn't Mara, the devil, who was actually giving him his teaching. It was so strange to him. So it's something that Sariputra actually questioned the authenticity of what he was hearing. And then it was a number of things in the Buddha's comportment, the way he spoke and the way he showed compassion, that made Sariputra believe him. It's the Lotus Sutra claims that it alone speaks the truth, but it's our responsibility to figure out what that is and to act upon it.
所以提到了信息的虚假和不准确性，就这里就出现了信息或者是被误解、沟通、交流沟通被误解的一种可能性。所以我们怎么知道我们现在正是在正确的修行道上呢？我们怎么才知道我们自己采用的原理，或者知见不是虚假的，或者是不真实的？ 这个问题其实也有在经文当中提出，就像舍利弗在经文当中也提到，他也害怕这个教法其实不是佛在宣说，而是魔在宣说。但是在经文当中呢，舍利弗通过其他方法能够确认这个的确是佛在宣说，而不是魔。但是这也显示了。 是众生的责任去判断哪一个教法知见才是正确的，才是我们可以修行的。So
the dangers of the burning house are no joke. It's a metaphor, an allegory in the story, but it's something ever present. Not just the burning house, but the impermanence of life. So Master Sheng Yan once explained why it is so hard to understand the truth of suffering or dukkha. After all, for most people, life is often enjoyable, and talking about suffering won't make any sense to most people who feel like they're doing okay. We may read about other people's suffering all the time, but we perceive it to be their problem, not ours. So if we do encounter real suffering, We try to deny it oftentimes, and that in itself is another kind of suffering.
当然，这个三界火宅的危险性是毫不夸张的，不是一个玩笑。圣严法师也一度的讲到，为什么这么困难？为什么众生理解苦地有这么的困难？因为对于大部分人来说，生活似乎还是很享受的。如果谈论痛苦的话， 好像在很多场合，很多人都不觉得他自己正在受苦，所以我们这里其实首先就要意识到，很多人都是在否认自己正在受苦。The
burning house metaphor is a very stark representation of suffering and the ignorance of suffering. Sherfu used the analogy of someone watching cattle going into a slaughterhouse. The cows are oblivious to what's happening. The person watching the gates knows exactly what is happening and what will happen. Sherfu said that he had that same perspective in dealing with the people he teaches. They often don't recognize the all-pervasiveness of suffering and unconsciously think they will live forever. But a Chan master recognizes impermanence and the need to be ever vigilant to what is happening around us. Likewise, the Buddha, as the elder watching the burning house and his imperiled children, tries to alert us through the sutra to the nature of our situation.
所以这个三界火宅的譬喻就是一个很显眼的、很明显的一个代表了痛苦和众生对痛苦的无明不觉知这样一个情况。所以要让众生能够理解四谛当中第一谛的苦谛。 师父也用了一个比喻说，就好像人们看到这个牛要被牵到屠宰场宰杀，这个牛是毫无所知将要发生什么，但是这个在看牛的人或者打开门的人是知道将要发生什么的。所以就像他教导的信徒一样，大部分人并没有意识到自己所受的痛苦和这种痛苦的普遍性，也觉察不到他们其实并不会永远都活着，生命会有尽头。就像 一个禅师曾经讲到的生命的无常，我们需要时刻的警觉，我们正在发生着什么。所以佛陀就暗指这位长者就像是在外面看着这个火灾，他看到了孩子们正在受到危险，试图警告我们的情况。
So beyond the danger that the sutra illustrates, there is of course the hope and the promise of true liberation from suffering. The inclusivity that the sutra preaches makes the single door to the burning house very wide indeed. People, according to their needs, choose what they can understand and practice accordingly. The welcome mat is always out, so to speak. And what the sutra does by casting such a wide net is to allow us to stand back from the ways that we normally react with the world, to not get so attached, to not fall into judgment the way that we are so want to do. And this, to me, is very much in accord with Chan methods.
所以在危险之外呢，经文也显示了，也给了我们一个承诺，给了我们一个希望，就是从中解脱，从中逃离的一个憧憬。这个经文非常的广博，因为它不仅仅是说只有一种方法可以逃离这个火灾，它其实是根据众生的根性，根据他们的需求来介绍适合的佛法啊，让他们能够逃离这个火灾。所以只要逃离，欢迎逃离这个标语是永远在那里的。
And I think it's appropriate to talk about, I don't know if it's the elephant in the room or whatever, but the sutra does talk about the one great vehicle. And maybe we'd like to know, what does that mean? How do you get on that vehicle? What kind of methods of practice are associated with it? And I'll deal with that in a moment. But I want to make an analogy to how we work in Chan with gungans, right, with watos, where we ask a question like, what is wu, that has no answer possible. And what's happening in doing that meditation is that we observe how the mind works. And when you consider what the one vehicle is, there's a similarity. In other words, you cannot state in concepts what wu is. And if you could, whatever that one thing would be, that would be a description of the one vehicle. The one vehicle is really something that is pretty much one and the same as the mind of the Buddha.
所以在这里大家肯定很想了解法华经讲的一圣到底是指什么，我们怎么样才能够登上这辆一圣的马车，怎么样才可以修行到这个状态。在我讲这个之前呢，其实我想提一下我们禅修者经常用的方法，就是公案和话头。就像我们经常参的话头，什么是无。那么在这个参的过程当中呢，我们其实更多的是了解到自己的心是怎么运作的，不会被自己的心所拉走。但是这个到底什么是无，这个答案不是用语言文字能够描述的。就像这个一圣，它其实是说这个心和佛性其实是一体的，是一样东西。
Okay, and lastly, what I'd like to talk about is perhaps the larger message of the Lotus Sutra and some of the methods that might be that we can intuit within it. So in the Burning House chapter, the practice has certainly been addressed in a directly and indirectly. So there's the root issue of suffering itself, and that's clearly identified. And there's a baseline assumption in the sutra that one will not escape from suffering unless one does something, and that is practice. When we practice, we can do it with more or less motivation, more or less awareness. We may start reluctantly with little motivation, but staying confined to a burning house is not practice at all, whether or not we know it. So leaving by hook or crook, by any expedient means, is the beginning of an answer, a turning away from self-created suffering.
Right here. Yeah. 所以现在, 我想讲, 我想提一下, 这个三界火宅这一品, 一个更大的一个主题, 更大的一个背景是说, 在火宅里边的孩子们, 他们, 是有危险, 将要遭受生命的危险, 这里的问题, 痛苦已经被, 察觉了, 那么, 但是呢, 如果我们不修行的话, 是没有办法从这个火宅里逃出来的, 不管你是逃出来的动力有多大, 多小, 还是你对这个困境的觉察程度有多高, 我们必须, 要采取行动, 这就像修行一样, 才能够逃离火宅。
In the story, the children are unaware of what's going on around them. They don't want to leave because they really don't know there is anywhere else to go. They're so engrossed in their play. And that would translate for us all the goings on, all the transactions, all the desires and all the ill will and all the frustrations in our lives. We're not looking outside of them. And so the, like the children in the house, we are not necessarily aware that there's anything wrong. I mean, we know when we're unhappy, but we don't always know the cause of it.
所以在故事里面, 譬喻里边, 孩子们完全意识不到, 正在发生的事情。 他们也不想离开房子, 因为他们并没有意识到, 这个危险, 也不知道有什么地方可去, 他们所以才这么兴致勃勃地在玩。 这个翻译到我们现在生活当中就是, 我们觉察不到有什么地方出了问题, 我们一直深陷在自己的欲望, 情感当中, 而看不到其他的东西。
So the first attempted intervention doesn't work. Get out of there now. I'm not going to scream, but that's what the Buddha the elder was doing to the children in the house. They totally ignore their father. What finally motivates them is a variation of what is already motivating them. And this is key in terms of their expedient means. What motivates them is having fun, engagement in ego-driven pursuits. With expedient means, the Buddha slash father doesn't tell the children to give up their pursuits. He doesn't tell them that their playing is bad or their pursuits are unhealthy or dangerous.
所以, 佛陀第一个长者第一个方法的尝试是向他们大喊说赶快跑出来，但是孩子们完全不听这个警告。那么真正让孩子们有动力逃离火宅的是他们其实正在做的事情，就是他们想玩这个动力。 因为他们沉浸在这种自我的玩乐当中，那么这个所以就必须要运用这种方便善巧让他们逃出来。在这里，佛陀或者说这位长者并没有告诉孩子们要放弃他们对玩乐的追求，也没有说哦这种玩乐和这种追求是不健康的，是危险的。
So the Buddha slash elder seems to be on the children's side. He's speaking in their terms, and he does a very good job of play acting, effectively saying, and I'm going to translate this into contemporary language, right? Wow, the stuff you're into is really cool and great. I know what you like, so I brought you something that you're really going to like even more. Three carts that are standing right outside, which you can drive around to your heart's content.
所以看上来这位长者，看起来这位长者或者佛陀，实际上是站在了孩子们的这一面。他其实做得非常好，就像玩游戏一样，非常有效地对孩子们说：“哇，你们玩得好开心，你们玩得非常有意思，但是我知道你们喜欢什么，所以啊，我给你们带来了更好玩的东西呢，正在这三辆马车上，你们可以下来玩这个三辆马车，一直玩到。”
The situation and the attitude of the children seems very accurate to me. When I teach meditation and ask students why they have come and what they're interested in, it is most common to hear things like, I'm stressed out. I'm confused. I can't settle my mind down. I hear many, many things all along those lines. They want meditation practice to make all the bad feelings, stress, and confusion to just go away. So in a way, they're not looking for peace or understanding. They're looking for pleasure, defined here as something that makes the pain go away.
所以在这里孩子们的处境和态度其实是非常对我而言是非常准确的。 为什么呢? 当我在教禅修的时候我经常问学员你们为什么要来禅修啊? 为什么感兴趣啊? 大部分的答案我听到大部分答案都是说我非常的紧张我压力很大所以我不能够安心我要来修行禅修 能够让所有的这些不好的感受啊、压力啊、困扰啊、烦恼啊全部消失，最好全部被赶走。他们其实是在寻找一种新的安心，或者寻找一种新的快乐，能够替代这些他们所认知的痛苦。This
is very natural. This is especially true for Westerners brought up in a very materialistic culture. I don't know anyone. My contemporaries, or most of the Westerners that I meet, who started to practice simply to gain wisdom and help sentient beings. We generally start out being in it just for ourselves.
So, this is very natural. Especially in the material culture, Westerners, 度众生啊,我们更多的其实就是想要为自己。
So there's a very subtle subtext here when the Buddha talks about the one great vehicle and is in some ways a critique of other types of practice. Some ways it is, some ways it isn't. But there can be an unconscious level of ego attachment even in the most altruistic, other-oriented practices. Even in the Bodhisattva practice with a vow to save all sentient beings. The Sutra of Complete Enlightenment warns us about thinking that we are doing something, allowing something to happen, stopping or destroying stuff. In other words, we think we have a kind of agency in our actions and our practice, and we certainly do, but it's very easy for our sense of self to be involved in our practice, and we'll have no awareness of the fact. Simply put, it's like saying, look at me, I'm fully enlightened, when you're really just half asleep.
所以这里有一个暗指，可以说是一种批评、批判。如果你可以理解到的话，就是说对这种三圣，有些时候我们会在修行的过程当中潜意识的让我们的自我执着体藏，隐藏在这种看似好像是利他为主要目标的修行当中，甚至于包括菩提道的修行，菩提道是要誓愿度所有众生的。在圆觉经当中提醒我们说，我们做，我们不管我们有一种在做什么，允许做什么，不允许做什么，我们好像都是在为度众生，为别人在做。 但是呢，非常容易在不自觉的情况下把这种自我的感觉引入其中，而我们却完全没有觉察到这种自我已经悄悄地依附于中。简单的来说，有些人会说，哇，你们看我呀，我已经彻底的开悟了。那么当你说这句话的时候，其实正说明了你还半只眼还闭着，还在睡觉。
However, this first desire to change is very important. We really have to start somewhere. The Buddha gives his kids, us, a loving push.
但是呢，最终最初一开始的时候，要想要有欲望，有帮助自己的欲望，我们必须要找一个初始点，才可以开始慢慢的修行。所以在这里，佛陀就给了他的孩子们，一个很温暖的一个推动。
All right, now let's return to the metaphor of the burning house. We understand it as the threefold world, the six realms, filled with every kind of sentient being in every kind of situation. But if we go back to the simple convention of the metaphor, it's just a house somewhere, sitting in a field near a town. The elder was traveling about and has just come back to see his house catch fire.
然后我们再回到这个三阶火宅喻譬喻当中，我们了解到，在这个三阶火宅当中呢，有各种各样的众生，是在不同的情况下，就像是一个大房子，在一个旷野当中树立在那边。然后这位长者呢，到处旅行，然后刚刚回来，看到房子着火了。
So on a conventional level, you just look at this as someone describing a house somewhere. It's definitely someplace. But there must be an entire world, some other houses and other fields and other people and a whole variety of things outside of this house. But if the house were actually all there is, right, there would be no escape, no place to go. So what is it that's outside this house? Where are the children actually running to?
所以，从某种程度讲，这个既然是有一栋房子在那里，那么肯定有房子外面的这个世界，因为要不然的话就没有地方可逃，没有地方可去了。那么外面，在房子外面的到底是什么呢？
So where they're running to is an end.Suffering. That's on the outside. But where can that be if the house represents all the realms of existence? That place is the place that is outside and inside the house is here and now, inside and out, the present moment. But it is the present moment fully beheld, but not held on to. This is the Buddha world where the ego does not hold sway.
所以痛苦的终结就是这个房子的外面，这个房子外面就是一个痛苦的终结。那么如果说这个房子代表了所有六界众生的存在，那么这个房子外面到底是个什么样的地方呢？这个地方就是这里，就是这里，此时此刻，现在这个时刻。为什么？因为这个时刻不是被，如果没有自我的存在，没有自我的执取，那么就是佛的世界，自我就会融化。
So what's inside the house? It's really the same thing. There really was no fire. The metaphor breaks down. The metaphor itself was an expedient means. I guess you could say that we're the ones who are holding the matches, causing the flames to rise.
所以那么房子里到底是什么呢？其实是同样的东西，实际上根本就没有什么火灾，根本就没有大火，这个譬喻也只不过是一个方便善巧而已。可以说我们众生是拿着火柴点起大火并相信有大火的人。
So does the real world disappear? No, the metaphor disappears.Even in this metaphor, the three vehicles only existed as a suggestion. They never really appear. Remember, the Buddha promises, the elder promises these things to the children, but they're not really there. It's just, was just a suggestion. And so that metaphor of there being these vehicles is based on a dualistic mode, a dualistic model of here and there.Fire and no fire, practice and no practice, one vehicle different from another, etc. So to not participate in that world self view means that we can start to create less suffering. So we don't have to get caught up in these opposites the way that we often do. So, and given that kind of mindful detachment, which I think is what the sutra is really talking about,then we're actually much freer to do the things that we'd like to do. We're not hampered by our fears and expectations.
所以 根本就没有火，没有这个房子。那么是不是说世界就会消失了呢？不是的，只是说这个譬喻消失了。即便在这个譬喻当中，所谓的三圣也只是在建议当中存在而已，他们并没有真正的出现。而这个譬喻本身是基于主观二元论而存在的，有火或者没有火，修行或者不修行，从一圣或者一圣以外，这些都是一种二元论的世界观。如果我们能够放下这些二元论的世界观的话，那么我们就会更自在而少有痛苦。
So as a lay practitioner, I want to emphasize that this is not an all or nothing situation. We will undoubtedly find ourselves in the burning house, locked in the metaphor from time to time, right? We're not always working perfectly in the world. We're not always at our best. And that's probably quite a lot of the time for most of us. But we can develop an awareness that we are in a situation of our own making, and that sometimes we're in situations that we could make worse or better. So that's why in the Avatamsaka Sutra, it says, know all the Buddhas of the past, present, and future, perceive that Dharma Dhatu, in other words, the whole world, is all created by the mind. That's what it's referring to, how we react to things. So we're the fabricators of our own existence. We can become clearer about this, and that will provide a key to unlock the door of the burning house.
所以作为一名在家的修行者，我想要强调的是这并不是说一个要么就是全部都获得，要么就是什么都没有的情况。我们很多时候都会发现我们自己还深陷在火宅里边，还被锁在这个预言里边。但是呢很多时候我们也可以慢慢的培养一种觉察力，觉察到我们深陷的所有的情况都是我们自己的心所造成的。这就是在就像在华严经当中所说的，若人欲了知三世一切佛，应观法界性，一切唯心造。我们其实是我们自己所身处这个世界的制造者。如果我们能够越来越清晰地了解到这一点的话呢，我们很有可能就可以找到打开这个火宅的钥匙。
Okay, and that concludes my talk. I want to thank you all for coming. Maybe we have some time for questions in case anyone has anything to say or add.
所以今天我的讲座就到这里啊，不知道还有没有时间，大家还有什么问题吗？
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
好，谢谢大家。
Okay.